You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Hey, hey, welcome to The Crossover with me, Joe R. Lucas, brought to you by the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. Throughout this season, this is where I'll bring you exclusive interviews with your favorite coaches, players, and legends. Each episode, I'll be getting down and dirty with some very special guests as I try to find out what life is like on and off the court for Europe's elite. Make sure to stay tuned in because no subject is out of bounds. Welcome back to The Crossover, my listeners, and do I have a special guest for y'all today. I've had the pleasure to know this man since 1990. Yes, that means we're a little bit old, but I've been a part of the same team with him in two different clubs, a total of 5 years playing together, and I've had the opportunity since returning to Spain in 2010 to watch him grow as a coach and also take one of the biggest basketball clubs in the world to where it belongs. Today, you get to listen to an in-depth conversation with Real Madrid head coach Pablo Laso. Mr. Laso, welcome to The Crossover, my man.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be with you here. And it sounds weird that you call me Mr. Laso.
I figured I had to start with a little bit of respect because it might get worse as we go. I sat down at a computer about 3 days ago for an hour, and I'm like, how am I going to start this thing? And I figured you were going to help me, and you just did with the Mr. Laso. Everybody thinks these interviews are easy when you already know somebody, but it makes it more difficult because there's so many things that I can talk about you. I have 5 years together, and say, I know so much about you, and I got to put it in order, first of all, and then I got to make sure to get rid of the stuff that we can't talk about.
Okay, of course there is stuff that we shouldn't even mention. Like the first time that you saw me in the street.
That's in here. It's already in here. It's already in here. We'll get there. Okay. The interesting thing to me about all the coaches that I've done so far is you're the one probably with the longest playing career, most decorated playing career. So I think that's the best place to start. Victoria, Spain, born and raised in Victoria. I mean, what was it that got you into basketball? I mean, first of all, like you're a little guy. So were you any good when you started growing up?
Well, the funny thing is... I start playing soccer.
You did?
I start playing soccer in San
Biator. I didn't even think to ask you that question.
But it was true. I start playing soccer in San Biator in my school. And everybody, because I'm coming from a basketball family, so everybody was saying, like, how can you play soccer? I mean, if you were from a basketball family. But the funny thing is, probably at that time, I didn't even think. I liked soccer. Everybody said I played very good. I was playing with even older guys. So I was like, very comfortable, but somehow I had something inside that I wanted to play basketball. So as soon as, let's say, we made a decent team in the school, I just switched back to basketball. And then it's when everybody came up and said, okay, your father made you play basketball. And it's not true. I decide by myself, and I start playing with, I don't know, 9, 10 years old in my school. Then I went to the States, and I came back, start playing here. But I always... I had like basketball on my veins, so it wasn't. But the funny thing,
your dad was a player and a coach.
For many years.
You spent two seasons with him playing for him.
No, my first one. My first one was with Javier Añua.
Okay.
Who was back at the time the coach from Baskonia, and I arrived from the States because I went 1 year as an exchange student to the States. And I came back.
And you played there also?
I played there, high school. And when I came back, this opportunity came up. In fact, on my head, it was the plan was going back to the States. So that first year, they signed me in the team, and they said, we want you on the first team. So it was kind of weird for me. And then during that year, it's a lot of, let's say, colleges called me to go and play there. Right. They watched me play with a national team in Mannheim in that tournament.
Okay.
So on my head a little bit was going back to the States. But it was true that at that moment my career was going a little bit good for my age.
Right.
So I just stayed on my team and I played in Vitoria for 11 years. So.
And then your father came in.
And then after Javier, my father came and he coached me for 2 years.
And that's when your minutes went up too. Your minutes went up about 30. Yeah. You were 30 minutes, 35 minutes in
I
the playoffs.
It was funny because we were two guys from Vitoria, Aitor Zárate and Pablo Laso, who were like the youngsters, and the team made a lot of, let's say, push that Aitor and me could play. Let's say back on those days, two guys from the city, that can run the team. So it was more 2020.
Right.
But let's say I have the lucky part that Aitor got a great offer from Bilbao, another team. So he left.
He left.
So
imagine that, Aitor in Bilbao.
Aitor in Bilbao. So it looks familiar, but Aitor is born in Vitoria, very friend of mine. But he decided to go to Bilbao. So at that moment, I was, let's say, the only point guard at that moment. So
it's true
that everything went up. Then I have some bad moments because they signed Feder Ramiro, a very good player that you played with him also.
And
then my minutes a little bit went down. But it was not a problem of minutes. It was like I was feeling very part of the team. It was my hometown. Probably one of my dreams was playing for Baskonia back on those days. And I was very happy to be able to play for the team.
Right. And when your father left, first of all, what was it like to play with your dad, for your dad? It's difficult.
It's always difficult because it comes from it's difficult to take, let's say, family relations out of the court. I mean, at the end,
because at this point you're living with them also. You're 27 and living on your own.
And then I have players who... Also, their father were a coach, like Jimmy Bayron.
Right.
And we talked about this situation. It's not easy because probably it's difficult for let's say, my father, for the coach, for the son also. How do you treat each other? And even for my teammates, knowing, like, if he, let's say, my teammates could think, okay, he gets a lot on him, relax, because he gets a lot on you because you're son, or the other way. He treats him well because he's his son. So... I think it's a difficult situation that I think that you can manage.
Right.
You can manage, but right now I will tell you that I wish I won't coach my son.
Right. It's difficult for both people. But from that point on, you average about 34 minutes a game. The next 9 to 10 years, and three of them were obviously with me. But, and a bit more in the playoffs. I'm looking up, and I'm looking at some of your facts and your numbers, and I found, like, your best season was 10 points, 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
All right?
Nine assists.
9 rebounds. Yeah. What am I talking about? Now, assists weren't given out like candy on Halloween back then.
No.
They were a little bit more difficult. So no one really realizes those 9 assists are actually more like 15 in today's game.
Probably because it was, slower tempo.
Right.
It was 30 seconds, so it was probably less possessions. I have a funny story about this. Like some years ago, I put a game to my son.
One of your games?
One of my games. And he looked at the game, and he didn't say anything for a minute, 2 minutes, and he said, "Hey, Dad, why no one runs on this game?" I'm like, "Well, I'm running." "Well, if you said so." I mean, like, for him, the tempo was so slow, but it was... It's true that back on those days it was difficult to make assists at that kind of numbers.
Well, what was it? You had to do it within like a step. If they took more than 2 steps or more than one dribble,
all that story. That now when you see, let's say, 15, 20 assists on the NBA, you watch some of the assists, you go like,
With the travel
travel and everything. That was totally different tempo.
Right.
But it was true that I was playing probably more minutes than what now is used to play in Europe. It's hard to see players that play more than, let's say, 26, 27, 28 minutes, because that tempo makes you, you know, play, let's say, more up and down, physically stronger, harder. Back on those days, okay, maybe you could stay on the floor just a little bit chilling.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
find,
I play, yeah.
You find your time to rest.
Find your time to rest. Like I said, when you see my numbers, I have records in steals, and people said I couldn't defend no one.
Right. So I'm up there in block shots also.
Yeah, exactly.
And people said I couldn't defend anybody either.
Exactly.
But,
so at the end,
but we know that we couldn't defend anybody.
Well,
we're the only ones that know that.
That's what we always used to tell the coach, to sign somebody who can defend.
Exactly. It's not my job. But the thing I found, it was that year, and I was like, all right, and I'm going through the years, and I'm like, that's got to be one of the years that I was there. I was pissed because it was actually 93, 94 is the year I left for Madrid.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes,
what? Dude. I can imagine what he's going to say to me about that. It's like,
No. I think it was great playing with you. I have very good Americans. Back on those days, I think for Americans at that time, they were very important for the team.
Right.
Now, a lot of times, Americans make their, let's say, big name making role plays,
yeah.
Now it's like this, and we accept it. And of course, the let's say the level of the European players come, it's higher. But back on those days, Americans were like very important. Like they have to shoot the ball, they have to create, they have to do a lot of things. And I also think the quality of the players back on those times was probably higher also.
Right,
no?
right.
So for me, it was easy to adjust to this because I was English spoken, so that helped me. Helped me with you.
Right,
helped
exactly.
me with all the players. And I was...
You taught me Spanish terribly, yeah, but... Yeah.
My Spanish ain't that good.
Yeah.
No, but it's true that back on those days, for me, it was easier to adjust to this kind of, situation because Americans... I used to get very well along with them.
Right.
I used to go out because probably they saw in me somebody who, you know, who's going to take care of them and they will help me and they will help the team. So it was a good situation. And I think it was good for my career also.
Well, now I'm going to get into it. I never forget when I first signed there in Victoria and I think we finished the practice and I decided to take a walk around the city and all of a sudden, like this little itty bitty white car, I don't even know what it was, like a Seat
600.
600,
yeah. 600. Very, very old.
I got 900 written. I couldn't remember. Something like that. It starts beeping at me. And I see this like really hot girl, a really good looking girl, like looking out the window waving to me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to like Victoria, man. I'm like, the girls drive down the street and beep. And all of a sudden I look in the driver's seat and I'm like, no, that's not Pablo, is it? I'm like, there's like the mayor of the town with the best looking girl in town.
My wife now.
Yeah, of course. That's what I said. My next thing was like, by the way, you married that pretty girl.
Yes,
like,
true.
So he kind of shot me down at that time. But I was like, a Seat 600, this is the smallest car I've ever seen in my life. And I'm thinking, okay, here's pretty much the basketball mayor of Victoria. What's he doing driving this car? And I'm thinking, is this the car that the team's going to give me?
In fact, it was my wife's car. But it was funny because we saw you. She saw you because you wear those pants, remember?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
So the funny thing is, okay, my car was what it was. But your pants were...
What was it? Those long shorts with all the colors.
How do you say jirafa? ¿Cómo se dice?
Yeah, the giraffe like pants. Yeah.
So it was like, I got to say hi to Joe.
I had style back in the day, man.
Well,
it was
style...
A little too much for Victoria.
A little bit too much for Victoria, let's put it this way.
So it wasn't long before that, or after that, that you decide that leave the only team, the only city that you've ever known at that point. Mm-hmm. And what was that? I mean... Where did that decision come from?
Well, like probably life is made out of the decisions. I mean, like now you talk a lot about this, but just think about every decision you make in your life is going to change your life. It's a little bit true. At that time, of course, in Victoria, I have my friends, my family, everything.
A lot of friends.
Yeah. But at that moment, you know, we won the cup and like a new door opened up. Like it was Real Madrid and it was even some other good teams asking me if I would leave. Probably no one thought I could leave Victoria.
Right.
But it was a hard decision, of course, because it's my home and my team. But I knew it was a great opportunity for me to come to a great team like Real Madrid. And it's a decision that I never looked back, let's say. It was a difficult moment for me, changing city. I mean, people think, okay, you go to Real Madrid, everything is going to be easy.
No.
You know that.
Right.
It's not easy. You change city. You even change your way of life. But I think it was the correct decision back on those days. And with all the respect that I have for my, let's say, my town, my city, my team, like... The team that I belong, the team that really gave me a lot of things, and I have a lot of respect for them. After the years, now we're rivals, but
right,
still,
of course.
It's my home city. But that decision is, in that moment, it was hard, difficult, but also something that it could me grow up as a player and as a person. And it's something that during life you have to take these decisions, and it was hard, but I think it was worth it.
We talked about it before. We threw out on Twitter. The fact that I was going to be sitting down with you today. So we asked some people for some questions. And there's a lot of people out there trying to take my damn job. I shouldn't have done. I don't think this is a good idea. I should have done that. But this one comes from Jose Lopez on Twitter. And I like this one. He's like, what was your favorite? And he says, be honest. What was your favorite team growing up?
Well, I was back on those days, soccer soccer was it's the main thing.
I'm listening to you be politically correct
right now. I'll be honest. And back on those days, for everybody in the Basque Country, it was, of course, Athletic Bilbao and Real Sociedad were the big teams. And then a lot of players from the Basque Country went to Barcelona.
Right.
So everybody was a little bit with Barcelona because of those Basque players. But in fact, I was a little bit of Real Madrid, honestly, and the club and the atmosphere and everything. And it's true that I have family in Madrid. So since I was very little, let's say basketball-wise, I lived the Christmas tournament with Real Madrid. So
right.
Let's say that Real Madrid spirit was a little bit on me.
Okay.
Knowing that my team was always Baskonia, for sure.
Right.
It's normal. It's my home city.
That's everybody in the Basque Country.
Yeah, it's a little bit like
they
this.
They hate Madrid. They hate Real Madrid. But
It's a little bit like this.
That,
but at that days it was hard because, like I said, it was like a little bit connection on the soccer players that went to Barcelona, and it was, let's say, a hard moment for Real Madrid and the Basque.
Right.
It's not like this anymore. I think Real Madrid has a lot of respect as a club in the Basque Country. But for me, also, Real Madrid was a little bit basketball-wise inside of me. Because since I was very little, I was coming here on the Christmas tournament, watching, I don't know, Corbalan, all these ex-players playing. And it was, like, for me, the big thing about Christmas was coming here and watch Real Madrid play.
Did you end up playing in the Christmas
tournament?
It was great. I think one of the last years.
One of the last years. 20, we played that.
25th and 26th, tournament.
I mean, when you play, I mean, I
it
think...
It was a fun play because there was no pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the season, playing without pressure, it's easy. But probably people enjoyed it more watching it because...
It was always crowded.
It was crowded. Yeah. It was very nice games. Yeah. Remember, we played the Australian national team one night.
New Zealand one time,
New Zealand.
Those guys were mean.
Yeah. But it was... I mean, the Christmas tournament, I think, created a lot of... even back on a lot of years, like that Christmas tournament was the first, let's say, basketball TV thing for those days.
Right, exactly.
Because
now we have NBA stuff, but...
Yeah, NBA stuff, but now, like, you have a lot of platforms, okay? So you can watch almost every game all around. But back on those days, we have two channels.
Exactly.
And in one, it was a basketball game. So so I think that created a lot of...
Are you asking for a Christmas tournament now?
No.
I think you
really. Not really.
I think you have enough games.
I think we have enough games.
breaking news. Real Madrid Christmas tournament.
I mean, I don't think it was bad playing at Christmas. It was probably bad for us, and we probably...
Right.
Talked it in the locker room when we said, okay, now Christmas and we got to play. Okay. But it's true that it was a great tournament and it has a lot of history, that tournament for Real Madrid also.
How difficult was it, or did you just pack up and leave when you made the decision? But, I mean, I played 3 years in Victoria, and it didn't take me more than a month to figure out everybody hated Real Madrid. It was about
time.
So how, like, did you just pack up your bags and leave, like, overnight where no one's, because
you didn't make
that decision and walk down the street, did you?
Well, it was a decision on my last year of the contract.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. It's difficult because at the end you have to take one decision. It's not.
You could have went to Benetton Treviso. Yeah, you could have went to Olympiacos. And people would have been like, hey, man, good luck.
Well, I don't know. Maybe for you. Not for me because I'm the king from town.
Yeah, I know. But they would have been upset, but they wouldn't have been as upset.
Probably.
As probably.
I didn't think that much. Probably I... realized that when we went back to play there.
Right.
We went back to play there together. So it was good for you because they didn't get on you they got
finally,
on me. Finally, they didn't get on you, they got on me. But I always looked at it like something that it's not, let's say, personal. It's personal for me. But I remember I finished the year there and I went to the national team. I came back to Vitoria, packed everything. We went for vacation. I stopped in Madrid, looked for an apartment. So everything comes real quick.
Right.
What probably sounds easier for you, but I try to make it easier for me.
Right. Well, I made my decision when I was in the States and I flew straight to Madrid. So
that's probably because that's probably easier.
Right.
For me, it was harder because at the end,
that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
I can't imagine making that decision and having to walk around Victoria for another couple of weeks or months.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
You stay at home.
I stay at home.
No.
Speaking of staying home, how's your mom? I mean, I've been lucky enough to be invited over to your mom's and your grandma's cooking on Sundays. And what did they say? I mean, obviously they're supportive, their family.
Yeah, they support their son. I mean, they, of course, for them, they would love that I would stay in Vitoria forever. But they understand from the beginning, and I left home when I was 15. I stayed 1 year in the States. So we're a family that everybody understands they have to make their own way, let's say. Right. So it wasn't that bad. Probably it was harder with friends and people around you that it's difficult. Even my wife had to leave Vitoria to Madrid with me. So it was difficult, but...
Yeah. That begins the basketball life of
basketball changes everything.
For her.
Yeah. It's also because... She left, I mean, she had her work in Vitoria and everything. So it was a change. It was a big, big change. But also, I think, like I said, I think it's something that makes you harder as a person. And it was a decision that I took at that moment. And I didn't think too much on, you know, like you said, what I'll do that night. I cannot go out in Vitoria. No. Right. I always have my friends. I go back to Vitoria often. I mean... Christmas and everybody's very polite with me.
Now,
of course,
now it's better. Yeah,
now it's normal. But of course, I understand when I go Albuesa and we play them. Of course, they kill me. Normal, they want me to lose. That, and I understand. It's totally normal.
First of all, I just got to get in this one point. I hate you for winning the King's Cup in Baskonia right after I left. I'll never forgive you for that
it's
one.
It's true. That was the year I left.
All I wanted to do was my goal to win a championship
King's Cup,
for that team.
King's Cup is very nice in Spain. Yeah. Very nice. You know that tournament. And
especially when, I mean, that was Baskonia's first time.
Baskonia's first title amazing. Also. So it was a big thing for the city.
But you get here... And you come under Selko, mm-hmm. a team that just wins the EuroLeague the year before.
Yeah.
And it's a huge change for you now because you're in your prime. You're 28 years old. Mm-hmm. You're not the man anymore. Mm-hmm. You're instead of being that big fish in the little sea, now you're the little fish in the big sea, you know?
True.
And you're sharing the court with Jose Antunes, Jose Laza, you know, guys that are you know, taking time. What was that like for you to come here and have to be, like you said before about the Americans, now you become a role player.
Yeah.
Was it a difficult transition?
Not for me, really. I mean, I had my moments where I said, well, in Vitoria I would do this all the time and I don't know what I would say. But I think I had coaches in Vitoria who really pressured me. I mean, and you know it. I have Herb Brown.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, so... So it wasn't
that
hard,
We'll talk about it.
But so it wasn't hard, and I think I came to a great team, great teammates at that time, and a very good coach, of course, like Thelko, and he really wanted a point guard that had my, let's say, characteristics. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a great season. I mean, we didn't win the EuroLeague, but we played the Final Four. Yeah. And if you say that about a team that has lost Sabonis,
right.
That's great. And we have a lot of problems during the year, injuries. I remember the day that you have 63 points. It was in Bolonia, and we were playing.
Thank you for that, by the
way. Yeah. But it's true. We won that game, and we get close to the Final Four. And he was playing Antunes alongside with me and Santos and Javi Col outside. That was it. Everybody else was hurt, and it was you, Zoran, Savic. Yeah. And we went there like with 7-8 players, and I think we did a great job during the year, and I was very happy because I'm a guy that really feels happy if the team is happy.
Right.
That's the way I am. So it wasn't that hard, although I had my moments, of course, thinking I could play more. But this all players have that.
I mean, if you don't have that, you're not.
You don't become a great player if you don't think that you can play better or more. Let's say.
Was there a moment in Madrid where you thought maybe I shouldn't have done this?
No,
never.
No, it's not the way I am. Good. No, it's not the way I am.
Even let's get to the third series. I'm not going to get too much into it because we both know, you know, pretty much what happened. I still can't remember a lot of things that happened, but you only lasted 12 games.
That wasn't, for example, we're talking about decisions. That wasn't my best decision.
Right.
But
leaving.
Mm-hmm. That was not my best decision, but I accepted.
And what was the reason why you left?
You could answer this question, and you know it, but. Let's put it this way, and I'm going to try to be polite. The team was great. The players were great. We have an unbelievable squad of players. But I saw things that I didn't like, and not with the players, not with the team. And I said, I don't want to be part of this. Mm-hmm. And probably I took the decision because I'm a guy a little bit like this, and I saw everything was going bad. And I have a lot of friends on that team who told me, Pablo, don't be stupid. Just calm down, calm down.
I might have been one of those too. But
probably too, because I had the feeling that everybody on the team liked me, and I loved to be with these players.
Yeah. It was a fun team.
It was a great team, fun team,
it's
really
a bad
winning
situation
team.
Situation that year.
Yeah, it was Alberto Herreros, it was Alberto Angulo, Bodiroga, you, Orenga, players that play with the national team.
Mm-hmm.
So Antunes, Santos, Javi Cole, Bob. I mean, so it was a great team and a great atmosphere. For me, it was something that it was not going the right way. And I think my decision was at that moment probably too quick, but I accepted and I left. I don't know, maybe if I wouldn't leave, I would have played for Real Madrid for a lot of years. Who knows? But that's it, finished.
You can't go back.
So. You can't go back anyhow. So
after that, you went to Cáceres directly. Mm-hmm. Then it was, I want to try to get through this quick, I want to get to your coaching now. But you're Girona, you go to Italy for a little while, Unicaja. Lleida.
Played everywhere almost.
Valladolid.
Italy, I played in Italy.
Yeah, also. In Italy. Yeah.
Part
in Italy
of and education.
And it's at this point, even though you're playing and your numbers are good, it's a typical trajectory of it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know?
You see that.
Yeah, you see it, you feel it, you know what's happening. Yeah. When did the coaching come into your mind? Was it already implanted into your mind before this time? Like when you were in Basconia Madrid, or did it come in?
Well,
when
the funny thing is, I have coaches in my career that the biggest threat they throw to me was, Pablo, right now, do this. When you'll coach, you'll do whatever you want. So it was bad for me, probably because I was thinking too much. I remember a coach who used to say to one of my players, don't think, shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. And you know who is that player. Don't think, just shoot the ball. And he was correct. The coach was correct. Don't think, just shoot the ball. For me, it was don't think, just play. So I think for me, it was hard because probably with the body that I have, and I was a guy that I was thinking all the time. So it came a moment when I saw that, it was hard for me to maintain, that rhythm physically, that pressure of having to play good every night without being physically at 100%. So
it's a physical, mental.
It's also, and then it comes mental.
Right, exactly.
And then it was a moment when I said, well, this is finished. I think I played hard until the last day, knowing that I was going to leave. My last year was in Valladolid. I signed in Valladolid with Casimiro as a coach, and I arrived there. We were eating first day of January together, and we arrived there. The team had three victories, and we were eating together, Casimiro and me, and saying, we have to save this team. So I give everything that I have, knowing that I was my last year. And in fact, Casimiro was very honest to me at the end of the year. And he was like, Pablo, I don't know if I played you enough. I don't know if, but you really helped the team to achieve the goal. So I was very happy that I played my best until the end, knowing that it was finished, that it was coming to an end. About coaching, well, a lot of people told me that I will become a coach, but I never had that on my head that clear. I had on my head clear that I wanted to do something in basketball, but I didn't have, I have to coach when I finish. No.
It wasn't a passion.
No.
It wasn't a passion.
No, not a passion coaching. Probably involved about basketball. Basketball, of course, is my passion, but not at that moment I was like, I will become a coach. No. I think probably I have to do something for basketball, and now it's coaching, and I think I did the right decision.
I would say so.
But it's true that at that moment when I was still playing, I wasn't thinking just about coaching. No, I wasn't thinking
just
coaching.
So you weren't going home and writing down plays and you were just absorbing everything that you were learning as the years went on?
If you know me and you know me, I keep everything in my head.
Right.
It was funny.
That's why you have no hair.
Exactly. I have no hair because I think too much. No. But it's true that I have it on my hand, I don't know, plays. I have the plays. I get the plays quick. I know, recognize quick situations. Probably like my mother will say, she'll say, well, I wish he would have that let's say
in
that
school.
In school for other things, but it's
my parents
true.
Used to say the same thing.
But for basketball, it's something that I have inside, and I have the feeling that I had it. It was funny when with another friend we went to watch some tournament. It was four games, 2 a.m, 2 p.m, and the guy was taking notes about the plays, players, blah 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 blah. So when we came back, we were driving, we stopped to eat, and I said, "Whoa!" I asked him, "What notes were you taking?" "Well, plays, blah blah. Tell me the team. Tell me the players, and I tell you the players." So I keep that on my head.
Right.
That probably makes my job easier. But at the end, it's not enough if you just know the info. I always say the info is very important, but the info is not going to make you a great player or a great coach or a great anything on life. Not a great journalist, not a great bank accountant. Info is there. But
info's only good if you know how to use it.
Exactly.
And when to use it.
Exactly, if you know how to use it.
So you go, not too many players do this, you go straight from the court, I should say straight to the locker room maybe, to the offices, so to speak. I know you as a person for many years. I know you as a player. You started coaching in Castellón.
In Castellón, yeah.
And that was a second division team at the time, all right?
Third division.
Third division team at the time.
Yeah.
All right. Now, my question is, I know you well. First of all, my question is, how hard is it for a player to come right into a coaching situation the year after he gets done playing, given that you said, you even told me you gave your all. It wasn't like you ended your career on a bad
note.
So all I can imagine, because it's happened to me before, is like you're sitting and you're coaching these third division players, you're thinking, man, I could chew this guy up and spit him out if I want to. Now I got to coach this kid.
That's a big fight that you have in your head, of course.
I can't even, I mean, In the little bit that I've done in my lifetime, I can't even imagine what it was like for you just jumping right into it.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that you have to do is understand that you cannot do it.
But physically, you still can at that point.
But, yes, but...
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. But it's something that you have to fight against.
Right.
I remember with Thelko that sometimes in practice, you remember he used to say, "Get out. I'll play."
Right.
Remember when he was doing plays? Like, okay, if you dribble here, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you have that feeling. And it's normal. Thelko has been a player. I have been a player. So you had that feeling in that moment, like, get out. If you play pick and roll. I always tell a story about one of my first players in Castellón. He was an Argentinian point guard. And he was playing pick and roll. Pick and roll, blah, 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 pass. Blah. So one day I said, but listen, play the pick and roll and... then pass it here, and then he looked at me, "Pablo, what's a pick and roll?" I'm like, "You don't know what a pick and roll is?" I'm like, no. I'm like, "But you play pick and roll." "Well, I don't know. In Argentina, they told me, call the big guy, set a screen, and play."
"There's no name for it."
"No name, no nothing." I said,
"You have that problem with Capasso?"
No. No. But it's true, and that kid... played very good for me, and so it was a good lesson for me to, okay, I have to teach now. I cannot just go play pick and roll and do this. I have to teach what to do, when to do it. So it's a different role involved on the same, of course, let's say basketball world, but you have to change that mentality. It's not easy.
But how many players did you just look at and go, come on, give me the ball?
Of course.
And what's the advice then, for example, of, I just ran into a guy last night and he told me one of the assistant coaches up in Bilbao listens to this podcast all the time because he's practicing his English.
Yeah.
I told him, "Dumb not to learn from me." But anyways, what do you give out, like Alex Mamrou, who's pretty much in the same situation. He gave up basketball.
Yeah.
And now he's coaching a second division team in Bilbao.
Yeah. Well, probably for Alex, it's a little bit the same that for me. First thing he has to... forget he's a player.
Right.
Because it's not a way, okay, I would do that.
But man, it's so hard to get rid
of. It's hard. It's hard, but it has to be like this because you won't become a coach because all the energy that you have, is like people from outside say, well, when you gain experience, for me, I was more than ready.
Right.
But maybe I wasn't that good.
Right.
Let's say that ready at that time.
You were mentally ready, but you just weren't prepared.
Yeah, you couldn't prepare. You have to understand a lot of things, understand players, because you've been on the other part,
right.
And you cannot just think when you were a player, you cannot just think, okay, if I'll do it my way, this coach is stupid. We have to do it my way. It's not going to work. The coach wants to help you,
right?
And then when you become the coach, then you are the one who has to help them, not right. tell them how to do that.
Right, exactly.
So,
difficult situation.
It's a difficult situation.
I mean, Pablo Brizzoni had the, you know, yeah, a similar Pablo. Situation.
And Pablo was a great example. No one doubts that Pablo knows basketball. Right. I mean,
but was he ready?
That's yeah, the, it's that's it's the he ready? Maybe if you ask him, if he would be here, he would have said, "Well,
of course." He's going to say yes.
He's going to say, "I'm ready." Yeah. Yes, of course, but it didn't come out good. And then, of course, when you are the coach, you have different pressure. I mean, you and me, when we play a bad game, players, we still go out for dinner,
right? Exactly.
And talked about other exactly. things. And
coaches are now coach, like, nope. little video.
Coach, start thinking about everybody. And probably, as a coach, you have to understand that your players, maybe one is thinking about the game, but the other guys, no.
Right.
They just think about, okay, he's going to kill us in practice tomorrow, blah, 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 whatever. So they don't have the same feeling. And it's important that when you become a coach, you understand that it's a total different job.
Right.
On the same, let's say, atmosphere, on the same, of course, sports, a lot of things that they come together, but total different job.
You obviously do a good job because Valencia signs you.
Yeah.
But this is your hardest moment as a coach.
Yeah.
24 games in, they release yeah. you.
Yeah, well, part of the job.
Just yeah, it's part of but yeah. it's your first time.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the job
all
is...
All it hurts.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like I was talking about this. When you become a coach, you have to understand they're going to fire you.
Right. Just a matter of when.
It's a matter of when. I mean, I think every coach has been released from a team. In the middle of the season, at the end of the season, there is no coach that has been at the same place forever. Maybe this guy from Manchester United.
But there's very, I mean, in the States, in college,
you see
Coach K yeah, and Duke okay. is 27, but that doesn't happen in Europe. Yeah.
It's different because his players stay with him right. maximum for years.
Well, not anymore, but still.
Yeah. In professional basketball, it's difficult.
Right.
But it's true that you have to understand it.
It's part of the job.
It's part of the job. Yeah. So it was a bad moment, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the job until it happens the first time. And then it's like...
But it wasn't that bad for me because, let's say I'm a very positive guy. So I thought, if this happens, it happens for something. So I don't think Valencia was wrong before they fired me. I don't think I was wrong how I did it. We were on the semifinals of the European Cup. We were on the playoffs. I have unbelievable players hurt all year. Mm-hmm. Rigodo, I have Toberto out. I have Tomasevic out. I had a lot of problems. So it was like a big master for me.
Right.
So that's the way when I look back on the time, I accepted. Probably from the beginning, everybody was killing me. Why do they give this job to Pablo Lasso? So what else was going to be the problem? If I understand that everybody was thinking probably Pablo Lasso doesn't deserve this job, well, the normal thing is they will fire me.
Exactly. And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
So after that, you have a bunch of good years in San Sebastian. I mean, obviously, different goals.
Your goals.
Your goals there to maintain this ACB standing. Yeah. And so on. I want to jump through that, and because I can't really say Gubuzkoa very well.
Okay.
So we'll just get that. But Real Madrid starts knocking on the door, there's no way you're turning this down.
No, I had it clear that I remember I went to the junior championship in Spain, in Galicia. And I'm, of course, close friend of Alberto Herreros and Juan Carlos. I know him from years. So we were watching a game, and he said, "What are you doing today for dinner? Let's have dinner together." So we talked and talked, and we talked about the situation in Real Madrid. But
not a good situation.
Not a good situation at that moment. And well, I think the conversation was great. But we were three friends talking about the team.
Right.
That, of course, they know more than me at that time. But that's it. In that moment, I never thought they could think about me as a coach, because I know probably Real Madrid at that time, they would sign, let's say, a
big
coach,
name.
A big name. Yeah. Well, it's normal. Messina just left.
Right.
But that's it. I just told them what I think. And people that knows me know that I'm not going to... I tell the truth. I go straight. And I said, if I have something that I don't like, I'm straight. And so we spoke about the team, and but then, okay, just I went back to San Sebastian, and then all of a sudden there was a lot of names coming up, and they called me, and I spoke to the people in San Sebastian, and I said, well, I think this is a train that you cannot just let go. And I have to thank the people in San Sebastian that really, you know, pushed me that, Pablo, you have to take it, go, right. And then do it as best as you can, blah, 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 blah. And it was a decision probably even more difficult, let's say, organized way. My kids were in school in San Sebastian, right, all this. Course, but yeah. At the end, all my family, my kids, my wife know that I'm a basketball guy, and it was a great opportunity. And I thought back on those days that we have a team that could develop and get better on my way of watching basketball. And I have great players, Sergio, both Sergios. Carol Camini.
But did you feel that this was somewhat of a risk for you? I know your mentality. Yeah. Your mentality was probably like, I can't do any worse than it's been. You know, so it's a really good situation. But like you just mentioned, your name isn't at this point Sergio Scariola. You're not Ettore Messina. Yeah. So if you come here and you mess up, that's a risk. I mean, it could be.
I don't think this way on my life. Of course, everything is a risk. We're going to leave from here. We're going to take the car. Somebody can run into us.
Right.
Everything is a risk on life. The problem is if you're ready to take that risk. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to take the car. And if somebody's going to try to hit me, get away. I'm not going to go 200 miles per hour on a shitty highway.
Right.
No, you have to admit the risks. But at the same time, I thought I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take the job if I wouldn't think that I was ready to accept this job. I knew we have great players.
Are you sure about that? Even if you're not ready, I mean, Real Madrid comes knocking.
Yeah. No.
I just can't see you saying no.
Seriously, if I think that, and this is probably I learned in life, if I think that I'm not ready to do one thing, I won't do it.
Mm.
It's clear.
But it's hard to make that recognition. Yeah. It's a difficult thing to say.
Well,
yeah,
when
I'm
you
not
get
really
old,
do this. Well, yeah, we learn. Yeah, but you're still young.
When you're 20 years old, don't worry about it. You take every risk and you don't care. And you don't. And let's say, and they offer you this, blah 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 blah. Now, you put everything on a balance, and you take the risk that you think that you can assume. At that time, I thought I was ready. And of course, it's not that I was myself ready. I think I have very good players, and that we can play good basketball, and a lot of good things that we talk with Juan Carlos, with Alberto, that we could do good as a club, as a team, that at that time were difficult, like we were playing in other place, our young guys with under Alberto Angulo have to get together on a place where they can practice and they can develop those players. A lot of things that... that you're not going to make in one day, but step by step you can help to be better every day.
Well, I counted, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I counted four championships from 1998 to the year 2011 in this club.
Yeah.
And I got 16 and 7 in your 7 seasons.
Yeah.
I think they made the right decision somewhere along the line.
We make the right decision because I think, and then, like I said, when you talk about championship, of course, you're very proud of what you get as a coach, as a team. But I think, for me, the best recognition is the people. And when you go to El Palacio to watch a game, it's a lot of people that support the team. We get almost every game is packed, the atmosphere. And even away from Spain, people recognize you. As a great team, as a team that loves to play, to watch people, you know, you go to Tel Aviv and I love to watch your team, blah, 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 blah. So that
people know basketball.
Exactly.
Like, teams like that.
Exactly.
I think that
recognition for me is even better than the titles.
From the outside looking in, you could say this has been a smooth road. And we all know that have been inside the locker rooms and inside whatever. It's not as smooth as it looks. You even mentioned what I have written here yourself a minute ago. You're somewhat criticized because of the lack of experience to come at this level. And that was always the critique for any coach that hadn't won or, you know, whatever, didn't make millions to come into Madrid and coach a team like Madrid. Was there ever a moment in your wildest dreams, like when you first signed here at Real Madrid or even before, where you thought it would be this successful?
I don't know, because I never looked that much ahead. I'm always a guy that look up front, but I don't look that much ahead. It's like when people ask me, the other day in one interview, somebody asked me, where do you see Pablo Lasso in 10 years? I didn't even take a look. How am I going to think when I signed in Real Madrid that I was going to, you said 16 titles. I don't know.
Right,
right now, my first goal is practice good tomorrow.
Right.
And try to beat Drosafak on the next game, whoever. Because I think when you are able to look ahead on time is when you're going step by step doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought about winning. Winning was something that will come up if you do the right things. And I'm very happy, because for me, coaching is something that when I get up every morning, I mean, it's great for me.
Right.
I don't get up and I say, oh, shit, I got to go
another
practice.
Day.
No, another day. No, I love my job. And I think that I always can do something better on my job, and I'm very happy to do it. But I never take that look of, okay, my dream was winning with Real Madrid. No, winning is something that is going to come if you do the right things.
Right.
So I don't change that now. I mean, it's the way I see it. When you when you close one door and you win a championship or you lose a championship, you lose a game, okay, there is going to be next door, next opportunity. And it's the way I am and the way I feel it.
First year here, you knocked out of the top 16.
Mm-hmm.
You pull out the King's Cup.
Was
obviously not the year that they expected.
Yeah.
But I felt like we saw some promise in the team. You had young talent with, you know, Sergio Jules, Sergio Rodriguez. Felipe was you know, a little bit more in his prime than he is now. Was winning that King's Cup help take some pressure off? Because it was at that point, I think it was 16 seasons since the team had won. It was like
19
seasons.
Yeah, because the president came in the locker room and said, Pablo, how is possible that in Real Madrid we didn't win the cup in 19 years old?
19 seasons.
So yeah. I remember that phrase.
Was it 19 the EuroLeague?
Or no,
the
King, 19, I think, was, King's Cups that we didn't win.
But did that take a little bit of pressure off?
I think that was great. Probably yes. It's not that I felt it, but probably yes. But I think the team deserved it, because 15 days before that cup, we lost in Bilbao on a bad way. We played terrible, and we were almost out of the EuroLeague.
That was huge. Yeah, I remember that.
We played terrible.
We lost by like 30 in that game.
We were losing by 30.
Yeah.
We lost by 17 at the end, but it wasn't enough. We were kicked out of the EuroLeague. That day, I remember Tomic was hurt, didn't play. Well, it was a bad moment for us, and that day I felt like, in Bilbao, it was probably more important than the King's Cup that day, because that day was really a point where this guy had to understand that it was not going to happen because it will happen. They have to do something to create it happen.
It was a learning. It was a game.
It was a great
learning
game. Yeah. And that cup was very important for the confidence of the team. We went to Barcelona. No one expected us to win. We suffered on the first game. We suffered on the second game. We were ready to play Barcelona at their home court under 20,000 persons, and I think for them as players, as persons, it was great that they thought, well, we can win.
Right.
So that was a big part, and well, we almost got the league also, and then next year we went to the Final Four. So
that's it. Next year you get the Supercopa, which is you know, it's.
Yeah.
It's a title, but you don't really know where your team is
yet
when the Super Cup. You go on to the final, to the playoffs, you sweep Maccabi 3-0, and it's your first Final Four. Yeah. What do you remember most?
I remember
get rid of the games. I don't want to. What do you remember most, like leading up to this? Because there's that 3 weeks in between the 3-0 sweep and the Final Four.
Well, I remember. First thing I think was great to, I mean, when you talk about the EuroLeague, you don't know how hard it is to get on the Final Four first. Everybody talks about winning the EuroLeague.
Yeah.
Winning the EuroLeague, it happens You have to win two games, two finals right. on the final four.
It's a 48-hour thing.
Yeah, it's 48-hour right. thing. That, everything can go. Let's say half of the team gets a flu right. on that weekend. And you don't win the EuroLeague. Yeah. And maybe you have done a great job during the year. Happened to us 1 year. We finished first on the regular season. And we lost in the semifinals against Fenerbahce. Okay, I think that was a great moment also to gain confidence as a group. We went to the playoff. Everybody thought, okay, but it's not going to be okay. Their season was okay, but playoff, boom, we won 3-0. They go to the final four. Yeah, but in the final four, they're not going to do anything. Boom, they get on the final. And when everybody was like
27-10 in the first quarter.
And we're winning by 17.
Yeah.
So probably we learned a lot on that final four. We learned a lot. We learned a lot how to get that goal of
But my question was, what are you thinking before you get there?
I think it was great.
It's your first one. Yeah. You got guys like Xavi Pascual, Yorgos Matsoukas, Ettore Messina was there. And then it's like, and I don't take this the wrong way, but we're friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, Pablo Lasso.
Yeah. Well.
You know, at this point, you don't belong, but you're making your way.
Yeah. You're making your way. I mean, it's like all those names that you say, Ettore, Bartokas, Xavi, Zelko, all coaches have always one time that it was their first time.
That was their first time, exactly.
That's for sure.
Right.
So for me, I never had the feeling or I was, let's say, under anyone. I don't have the feeling that
I'm
over
that. I know that about you. I know that.
I'm not over no one, but I'm not under no one either. They have their teams. I have a lot of respect of all the coaches that I had on my career, that I play against now. They have their problems, their team, their good things, their bad things, for sure, like I do. But at that moment, I said, well, I think it was a great achievement, of course, for me as a coach, but also a great, let's say, achievement for the club that for many years. And arriving to that moment is like, okay, we're here. Now we want to stay here. And right. This is something that is sometimes even harder than arriving to the one Final Four.
I think one of the best things you did is and I mean, obviously, I'm not going to ask you a question like, what were you feeling after you lose the Final Four? Because no one could ever really explain that. But how does a coach come back and re-motivate his team? Because that year you went on to win the Spanish League, which is the first time in a while for Real Madrid also. How do you re-motivate the team after such a major loss? Because now Sergio, Felipe, Chacho, these are guys that have already lost one in 2010.
Yeah.
Now they lost another one. How do you come back and re-motivate that team to win the Spanish League?
Well, I always try to make my team understand that the first day of practice is as important as the last game of the season. Mm. Of course, the last game of the season is probably what is going to judge you.
Right.
But if you want to arrive to that last judge day on a right position and a good position, let's say you have to do your homework. And your homework starts the first day that you start practicing. And it's not going to be no difference. I mean, I'm the coach. Let's say I'm going to drive this car during the season, but you guys have to try to go hard every day. That way, okay, we'll grow up as a team, we'll grow up as a group, and we'll arrive to the last day where the season will be finished. And of course, sometimes losing is good.
Yeah, definitely.
Losing is sometimes good. I mean, if you win
you learn way more by losing.
Exactly.
Than you
when
do
you
by
win,
winning.
And this is human, when you win, you don't think about what you did wrong.
Right.
It's normal. You win.
I always say, when you win, you can take a day off.
Yeah.
You know, and
when
that's
lose,
the attitude.
You never take
you
a
day. You can't take a day off. Yeah.
And it's
which is wrong.
Which is wrong.
Yeah,
of course.
When you win is when you need to like keep
exactly.
working. Yeah.
Like, okay, I would say, and I would put this on a player. Usually a player comes to shoot the ball when they had a bad game and didn't make shots.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty stupid,
right.
No?
Right.
You should take shots every day.
Right, exactly.
Not only because you missed.
Not because you missed yesterday.
Exactly, because you missed yesterday. Well, but it's human.
Right.
And we have to understand that we're humans and we're part of a group. And I have players that play, let's say, a final and play terrible on that final. That's human. They cannot play... I mean, they're not machines. And all of a sudden, I don't know, last year, probably who expected Fabián Caser was going to be, let's say, a key player on the Final Four? No one. Okay, you have Rudy, you have Carroll, you have Yul, you have... Okay, everyone is important. And I think that that this is part of our job, to make them understand that their moment is going to come and they have to be ready. Okay, you lose. But going back to the answer. So what? Is it finished? No. One door closed and another one is going to be, mm-hmm. it's going to be open and right. you have another opportunity. And this is something that we work from the first day. And I try to make the guys understand that that it's not going to be just one final. If you don't play good during the year, you're not going to ride to that final. That's right. even worse than losing it.
And you did have another opportunity, and, yep. and you ran into Tyrese Rice, yeah. 25 points in overtime. I mean, yep. need I say any more? Was the semifinal, the 37-point win over Barcelona, was that no. is that a bad thing?
Probably didn't help.
Yeah.
Probably didn't help. Because
does the team get an overconfidence? Or
not over the confidence, of
relaxed.
Course not. Not relaxed, but made everything outside looking that it was going to be easy.
Right.
Not inside the team. Inside the team was a weird game. I had players who didn't play their best.
Yeah.
Nothing to say bad about them. You have a bad game, you have bad game. Because I think it was like, I'm going to tell you two things. First is that I don't watch those games.
Afterwards?
No. It sounds stupid, but no. I didn't watch the game, the final in Belgrade last mm-hmm. year. No. Because those games are finished.
Right.
But what I remember about that game is I think we were up by one with 20-some seconds, something like mm-hmm. that. And they gave the ball to Borussis, and he got fouled. And he and the ball went in and out.
Right.
If he would have made the shot, plus the foul, it would have been three-point play.
And he drilled those two free throws.
I think he made one, so they came to the they scored, and we went to the overtime. So all year cannot be judged. Just right. because that shot.
Right.
And it sounds big, but it's like this. How about if Giannis would have had that shot?
Right.
Season would have been great.
Yeah, it's a different result.
Yeah, it's a different result.
History is different.
History is different. Right. Listen to what you're saying. History is different. Is something to blame Giannis? No. But basketball is as easy as difficult as this.
Right.
So me as a coach, I try to get away from, let's say, those little things that can happen on sports. Because we're tired of seeing things that happen in sports that they're not normal.
Right. And so you're working a lot the psychology of winning, of losing, yeah. and how to work around it. And now you lose this one, and I think it's announced then that Madrid has the next one. And is, mm-hmm. is the first thought in your mind like, oh, no, I can't lose my third in front of the home court? Or is my first thought is, how nice will it be to win in front of, or did you, or they both go through your mind?
No. Seriously, and you know me. My first thought is, how good will be winning here?
To win.
And I don't know if I like this, but it's true that sometimes you win when you learn. Mm-hmm. And how do you learn? Losing. Sounds terrible, but in life, sometimes it's like this.
Yeah, I try to tell that to kids all the time. Yeah. That's what it is. But before that next season comes, mm-hmm. when y'all do win it, mm-hmm. there's obviously rumors going around that you're out.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big battle going on. And you had just signed a contract. Yeah. You didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Was that? I mean, it had to be a difficult time for you and the family. Yeah. Because I feel like, because we talked a few times before that, and I feel like you saw the road. You saw what was ahead.
Yeah.
And in Madrid, and teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona, especially back in the day, nobody sees the road. They see the sign in front of them.
Of course.
You know? It's like, what did Herb used to say? You don't look at the tree, look at the forest behind it, you know?
Yeah.
So how was that summer? Because that had to be difficult, because I think you knew what was ahead.
Well, of course. I would look stupid if I said I wouldn't know this. I would look stupid. If I'm a guy that knows basketball all around, that I like to have all the info, know what to do with the info, it would be stupid that I said I didn't know that rumors. Mm-hmm. That was first. Second, I was very lucky that I broke my tendon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it sounds stupid.
In the Barcelona finals.
On the final. I broke my Achilles.
I forgot all about that.
So
it's like an NBA trick. They can't fire you when you're hurt. You know, they can't get rid of
you. I didn't know that, but it would be good at that time.
Yeah.
No. But really, for me, the only thing that took time out of my head, it was recovering from the injury. I wasn't too worried about if I'm going to stay as a coach. I cannot walk.
Right. That's not an easy injury to come back from.
Exactly. I cannot walk. And I was lucky in my career as a basketball player. Never had big injuries. And for first time in my life, I cannot get up. I cannot go to the bathroom by myself. I cannot take a shower by myself.
I forgot all about that.
You think I'm worried, and it's hard to say, about my job when you're like this?
Right.
Of course I'm worried about my job. Anyone would be. But at the same time, my first thing is I have to recover as quick as possible from this. And that was my biggest thing on my head that summer, knowing, of course, that all the rumors about me going out of the team or leaving the team were there. But I cannot do anything. I got fired in Valencia, like you said. So it's something that is part of
time to move on.
I'll move on. But, and I need to walk.
Yeah, of course. That's number one.
That's for sure. That was for sure.
So you whatever happens, you fight your way back into the team in Olympiacos at home. J.C. Carroll knocks down a third quarter tight game by, I think, three or four threes in a row.
11 points in a row.
11 points in a row, and that's it. I mean, just bam, you're a winner.
Yeah.
And I remember being down on the court with you at one point, and I saw this look of, it was like, you look like that happy little kid that I knew like when I first met you, but you also look like, did this really just happen?
Well, it was a great year. I think the team...
You guys won everything that
year. Yeah, everything. We won Super Cup, King's Cup.
Everything.
Everything.
Five titles in one season.
I think...
That's one more than Madrid won for, what did I say, 16 seasons?
16 seasons. Well, it was a great year. I think we got on the right time, great players. We brought Nocioni, who gave us a lot of character. Probably the character that we were missing at those times.
That was what I always thought.
Key. Yeah. But like... Okay, Carroll, 11 points in 3-4 minutes. Do you think I didn't see Carroll doing this in practice?
Right, every day, yeah.
So, for me, it was not a surprise. I think the team arrived on a great moment. Everybody was ready to give their best to the team. And like I said, if Carroll has to take that shot, he's going to take it. All the team is going to think he's going to make it. So, we arrived in a great moment at home. And the team was ready to play those finals, because probably like we talked before, losing before helped us gave us experience on a good, on the bad moments, and all comes to one game.
You didn't nearly as successful playing as you are coaching, as far as titles are concerned. I want to make that clear. Is it more gratifying to win as a player, or is it more gratifying to win as a coach? To like see the team.
I will answer it the other way. If it's for me, I would have played all my life. I love playing basketball.
Right.
I loved playing basketball. I love coaching. But I would be still a player if I could. But I know I can't. So on live, I cannot play. That's for sure. I'm 51 years old and I cannot play at the level that I would like. Now I'm a coach. I enjoy it totally different. I have a different view of everything. And probably because it's the way I am, I enjoy it. I want my players to enjoy it, to have fun, to really live that moment. But for me, I switch quick. I switch off quick on the good and on the bad moments. And this is something it's on me. I remember when in San Sebastian playing with Gipuzkoa, when we came up, we won in Cáceres, and we were from Cáceres to San Sebastian on the bus, and everybody was like celebrating. I was telling my assistants which players we should have for next year in ACB, and we just came up
celebrating.
and one of them went like, Pablo, can we wait for tomorrow? I'm like, and on my head I'm like this, it's the way I am, it's not going to change, and you know me, and I can be talking about basketball for hours and hours and hours because the way I am. Probably people that are friends of me says, okay, enough. Okay, we're not going out with Pablo because he's going to talk about basketball all the time.
I know I'm running short on time here, but number one, you talk a lot.
Yeah, true.
And number two, I got a lot to talk to you about. You've done too many great things in your life. Another listener tweeted in and he said, how important is J.C. Carroll to the Pablo Lasa era? Quickly, because my questions are more important than this.
No, J.C. is great because he's a great kid. And the way he came to Real Madrid, when a lot of people said J.C. Carroll won't be a player for Real Madrid, and the way he showed that he's a great player is day by day. Here, everyone respects him. He's always on a good mood, let's say, the way he comes to practice, ready to practice. Like this year was the first time we had to stop him because he was hurt. And he was like, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
So we really love him in the whole organization. And I think he's been very important for us during these years.
Now, that was about the time when Sergio Jewell was rumored to go back to Houston. He stayed. I mean, I'm sure that was a huge relief for you. But the next two seasons, now I'm going to try to get through this as quick as possible. You lived two, I want to say nightmares, but I mean, the first season, Zelko shuts you out 3-0. Fenerbahce wins 3-0 in the playoff. Can be expected. It's maybe the hangover season from you finally win the championship. The next year in 2017, I think it was, you go to the Final Four and you lose to Zelko again in that semifinal.
Yeah.
That was probably, if I'm going to be a little bit critical here, that was probably the worst game I've ever seen one of your teams play in a important
in the Final
moment.
Four.
What happened? I mean.
Well, I think that year was a little bit, like you said, a little bit hangover. Everybody was a little bit, let's say, too tired.
That was a 3-0 year.
And we played a team that really outplayed us.
Right.
I mean, we had no chance. We had a chance on the first game. We didn't make it. And the second one, we got blew out. And here, they dominate us.
Yeah.
We were not ready for that kind of competition at that time. Probably because the year before, the summer injuries or whatever. The next year, we were first on the regular season.
It was an incredible season for us.
We played great. We beat Darussafaka, but we arrived in Istanbul without the confidence to, let's say, to win the game.
Mm.
Like it was something on our head. Okay, we're playing in Istanbul. This guy from Fenerbahce, they're coming, let's say.
And their home court.
Home court. So we were not convinced at that moment.
Right.
And it's true that we didn't play good. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to win big games, you have to play good.
As a fan, of course, as a lover of this game, and I probably wouldn't ask you this question if you didn't go back and win last year, but I think a lot of people criticize you because Nocioni didn't suit up in that game, and Felipe didn't get off the bench either. Explain to the listeners what the reasoning was. Something that you look back on, maybe you think you made a mistake or?
Well, in sports, it's something. When I'm watching soccer, it happens the same thing. I'm watching soccer and I say, why didn't they put in this guy?
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing about sports is anyone can have their comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do that. And for me, it's a hard moment when I have a long team like I do, not putting someone to play. That means I'm right if I put one guy to play 20 minutes or 18 minutes, or probably I'm not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to make decisions.
Right.
And it's hard for me leaving somebody out without dressing or playing less minutes or whatever it does. But I cannot play everyone.
No, of course
not. And this is part of my job.
But was there a moment after you like, maybe I didn't make the wrong decision?
No.
So you stand by no matter what. This has been pretty much the concept of this whole interview that we've done. No. I mean, I make my decisions.
When I make my decisions, I take all the info.
Mm.
I think about it. All that I can do before I take the decisions. When I take the decision, it would be stupid for me to go crazy because I took that decision.
Right.
It would be stupid. I had nothing to say.
That can only possibly affect what goes on in the future.
And it will hurt me in the future.
Right.
It will hurt me.
Mm.
Maybe the team. It's another thing. But I cannot make the team think that I'm hurt because of that decision. I make the decision. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
I'm not always wrong.
Right.
But if I make a decision after all the info, after all, then it's done. It's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have to live with it. And sometimes I'm sure that I didn't.
I appreciate right your thing. Honesty on that, because I know it's got to be, it had to be at one point or another a of tough course. Question.
And I love Chapu.
Yeah, for example, of course.
I mean, everybody knows that Chapu and me have a great relationship. Yeah.
And
it's easy?
And everybody, you know, of course, the criticism was that he would have been the perfect person to be in that center, that you know, against Udo and against Vesely. But let's move on from that, because what happens next year?
Yeah.
You win what to me is the most amazing Final Four I've ever seen. Not Final Four. Mm. It's the most amazing road to the Final Four, because what your team went through.
Yeah. It's unbelievable year.
It's still hard to believe. Yeah. And you know, in the beginning, I was critical of you at times. I do my commentary. I have to speak the truth or what I feel sometimes. But and all I did was last year, I just sat there and shook my head throughout game after game. I'm like, how does he do it, man? How does he do it? Game after game, it's Santa Justa. It's this guy. It's that guy. Mm-hmm. You're substituting people in left and right. And I asked Fabian this, because he was the first podcast I did, and I said, when was it? I want you to be really honest with me. I said, when was it during the season when you said, this is just not it? It's not going to happen this year. And I want to ask you the same question.
Well, it was funny, because during the year, we had that phrase during a lot of times, because it was, this is not possible. Like,
it's
doctor
crazy.
Comes
it was
up,
crazy.
Doctor comes up, what's wrong with him? He's out. I'm like, okay, he's out for how long? Forget about him. I'm like, what do you mean? He's out for 3 months. What? 3 months. I don't know.
But he just fell down.
He just fell 3 months. Kuzmic, how is he? I hope he's not that bad. 3-4 months. 3 months. Next day, forget about and, 3-4 months.
And
it's
this,
8.
Wait, this all comes with the fact that Sergio Jewell
already
into the season.
Yeah, it was out of before the season.
Right.
So it was all like this.
How did you do it? I mean,
well, I think that was a great job by the guys of just staying focused. Okay, we'll go.
Was there a time where you said, this isn't it?
No.
There wasn't?
Never.
You still thought that you could do it?
Never. I have one of the refs every game that he ref me, before the game, he said, Pablo, hang on there.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Pablo, keep hanging. Like
it was crazy to watch.
Yeah. And it was funny, because I know one of my players one day say, well, with all this happens, we're going to win the EuroLeague. And it was like March.
There was
like
a point where I felt that too. Yeah. I'm like,
because
I felt the
it cannot
thing.
Go everything bad on
right.
life. Let's put it this way. Cannot go everything bad on life. And it was an unbelievable year that I think a lot of guys step up. Luca, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Campazon, who didn't play the playoffs.
Right.
He was,
right,
he was
exactly,
hurt.
Yeah.
Fabien. Felipe on that moment, Gustavo,
everybody.
Is, yeah. Even Tavares. I remember the first day
but
Tavares
came. But it wasn't fair either, because you showed up with everybody healthy.
Yeah.
because
it's true.
Because everybody's
true.
Legs were, you know, yeah. Serge had his legs. Gus
everybody
his,
was, let's say.
Everybody had the rest during the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. If you ask them, they would say, I wouldn't prefer. I
right,
wouldn't,
of course yeah, not.
But
what you do is you basically spoil Selko's party.
Yeah.
His 10th championship in his hometown, his home court. What was that like? I mean, that had to be.
You know, let's say myself, I didn't have that, let's say, feeling. I'm not a guy that looks too much to the other teams, what's going to happen, whatever. Of course, I have a lot of respect for Selko and hometown, the crowd, the atmosphere. I think we were ready for that. I mean, probably all the experience during the year made us being ready for everything that could happen. So we went to Belgrade like convinced at that moment that we were going to play our best basketball. And everyone on the team was ready to do anything to win. Defense, rebound, not shooting, whatever. Shooting, not shooting.
Right.
Everybody was ready at that moment.
The role play.
And it was great. And I think for me, as a coach, it was the moment where you watch that your job has done a lot of things to help these kids winning a title. And this is the best feeling that you can have as a coach.
I think that year, last year, it was more than coaching the team. You had to manage it. You know, there's a difference between coaching, because coaching is the X's and O's.
Yeah.
And one of my questions here that I have later on, but I'm going to ask you now, is what's more important for a coach nowadays?
Yeah.
Is it the X and O's, or is it the managing of
well,
the team?
A little bit of everything. Of course, there's not going to be a great coach who doesn't know basketball.
Right.
I mean, basketball, you have to know basketball to understand, I don't know, pick and roll, rebounding, all of this. Of course, the group is very important. I think I'm very lucky that all the people that works with me here, physios, I don't know, managing, press guys, everyone, we're all together on good and bad things. Mm-hmm. I remember last year, I invite all my staff for my birthday, and I took the microphone and I went like, what's wrong with you guys? And, well, of course, we're very friends. And said, well, we lost Chapu, who was a little bit the soul of Sergi's out. This year is going to be terrible. I said, hey, relax. That was October. We'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
We'll see. Campazzo is going to be very good. Luca, blah, blah. So what we cannot show is that we're this way.
Right, exactly.
We have to be the same people.
Attitude,
that we,
attitude is
the
so
attitude
important.
Is very important. And yeah. I think that day was funny, that day was very good for all of us. Like everyone said, well, it's true. I mean, we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there every night, and we have our good, our bad moments. We have bad moments because injuries are terrible for the teams. But it was even more difficult bringing people back because it was people who was playing good,
right.
Then out. So it was very difficult gestionar. I don't know how you say
right.
gestionar.
To control it.
Take control of yeah. all this during the year. But I think I have great people around me, my staff, my assistants, managing. Like I said, everyone here was helping on the right way. And I think it was great that we arrived, let's say, to the Final Four on that, let's say, with that condition.
Well, Fabian said that he never gave up hope.
Yeah.
But he said he was at a bar one night with Trey Tompkins, and Trey's like, hey, man, it's not happening this year. So.
Well, it's normal.
So if you don't play Trey in the next couple yeah. weeks, you know, Trey's going to know it's my fault.
No. But it's true, and it's normal. It's like, I don't know, I come home and my kids, why did, I don't know, this guy didn't play? Because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Also?
Also, yeah.
So
it's crazy year.
So it was like this, but I think we were able to step above all those things and continue doing our job as well as possible with the problems that we have. And it was like meetings between, I don't know, imagine, okay, we need to sign somebody. Who?
Yeah, yeah. Where
and,
do we find them?
Let's say Juan Carlos, Alberto, and me looking at each other, who?
Going to the
yeah, like who?
Remember what they call that, the Rolodex,
yeah,
like the paper,
who?
You know, who's there?
Like
yeah.
who? I mean, like, we
who's
made
left?
A team. Yeah, I mean, who's, it's.
And you have a easy job sometimes of signing because of the nucleus that you have. But in
yeah.
that situation, it's difficult because you need people coming that could fit
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
You just can't. You don't need a player to come in and score 25.
Nope.
You can't find just one player.
No.
It makes it. And a lot of people say, well, just sign this guy. He's a
no.
great player. Like, no,
no,
he has to fit into what we're
no.
trying to do.
Exactly. And this is something
and
that we have clear.
And the big man, my man, Sergeant Swat.
Yeah. yeah.
He fit
yeah,
right
but
in.
Eddie, I think Eddie was our man.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie was the guy that we really wanted.
Yeah.
It was difficult, and I think Real Madrid did a great job of bringing Eddie. But the way he fit on the team, it was
it's crazy.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
From
and it was
one.
Difficult. Cause, and you know, okay, Pablo doesn't know how to play with big guys. Hey, Pablo, let's say as a coach, prefer to play with good players.
Exactly. Big, little, small. Okay.
And, of course, all they have the talent, the quality, and Eddie is very important for us. And I think it was a great move by Real Madrid. And like I said, I'm always worried about bringing somebody that's going to fit on the team. Like the other day, Jason Rondo. We watched him play in the NBA, and we were talking about Jason
right.
played with Washington. He's playing minutes, and we're so happy about him because
right.
he didn't play, let's say, a lot of minutes for us. He didn't play great for us, but he was key.
But he was important.
He was very important yeah. there. Let's say the 8 minutes he played in Panathinaikos on the second game.
Right, yep.
For
exactly.
us, that's part of the title. And he felt like that, and we feel that we need people that really gets involved on let's say, on our team.
I don't want to go back to that game in Panathinaikos.
Yeah,
game
no,
one.
No, but we tried to forget that.
Yeah,
one.
we went right to the championship. But I'm done with all your damn winning, man. I'm done. But I do want to ask you before we finish up here, what is it going to mean to you to have the final? I know it doesn't. I know
yeah.
your answer is going to be, but I
yeah.
have to ask, what's it mean to have that Final Four this year in the place where you first picked up a basketball, where you grew up, and where you played your whole life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for me. Of course, I wish that we will make it, but I think it's great for the city that loves basketball for years, and it's gonna. I think it's gonna be a great Final Four for sure. And right now, my only wish is that I'll be there.
and if you are there and Zelko's there, you think he's got like payback on his mind? Maybe
I'm sure
maybe beat you at your place.
No. I'm sure that Zelko wants to win the title despite it is in Vitoria. Like last year, I didn't want to win just because it was in Belgrade. I just want to win because I love to win, and Zelko is probably the same way.
All right, now just to finish up with some personal stuff, we all know that Luka Doncic had all the potential to be a great player from the beginning, but we also know that, and you and I have seen so many players with so much potential not live up to that potential for whatever reason. In my opinion, what you did with him is underestimated by the basketball world. No one really sees the way you brought him along. Yeah, he's got the talent.
Yeah,
there's no doubt he's got the talent. But that talent could have been wasted away with maybe another coach, because coaches they can make or break a person.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, I just want to say congratulations. I thought you did an incredible job. And second of all, I mean, like, what made you go about it the way you did it? I mean, you brought him along. I remember one interview you said, do I think he's ready for the ACB? No, I think he's ready for the EuroLeague. You know?
True.
But what made you bring him? Because you did it kind of slowly.
Yeah.
And what was your thought process?
Well, probably, I mean, it's not only Pablo Lasso, for sure. I mean, when he arrived here with 13 years old, I always said that Luka right now is going to be Luka and the great player he can be because of him. That's for sure. The problem is when they don't help you.
Right.
And I think everybody here on this organization tried to help him from the first day. He probably had his good and bad moments. Pablo Lasso was watching Luka playing since he was 13, 14, 15, practices, knowing what he can do. Alberto Angulo running the whole program, knowing what Luka can do and what he cannot do, and what it was going to be good for him or bad for him. We have conversation with him out of basketball, trying to make him understand how important it's for his education, not only playing basketball.
Right.
Speaks Spanish, speaks English.
Yeah.
He's a great kid. He got quick involved on the team. Everybody respect him. He respect everyone. So we're very proud that Luka is going to still be a Real Madrid player.
Right.
Even now he's playing in Dallas on the NBA and doing great. We love him like he's our kid. So we're very, very happy, and I think everybody on this organization should try to help and develop Luka as good as he is.
Don't question. Are you surprised by his rookie season?
No.
Not really. I always said, people ask me over and over, because I did all the games last year, and they asked me, like, do you think he's going to be good? Like, I said, I don't really know, but if he is, it's just not going to surprise me at all.
No, because I saw him every day, and I know how he is able to adjust to the difficulties, and we have him 3-4 years. On the last years, when I have more contact, the way he was since the first day he came, I had no doubt he was going to be a great player on his first year. And also, we always say that Luka is that kind of guy que se cae de pie.
He'll always fall on his feet. He's like a cat.
Like the
nine
first,
lives.
Yeah. So he's in a franchise that probably perfect for him, and everything looks good for him. But when everything goes good to you, just think about if he's doing the right things to make that thing happen. You know?
One of the tweets that I got was from my man Andy West, who works with me.
He asked
me, like, do you ever listen to the games that I commentate? What do you think of it?
Well,
so I'll go right to the next game.
No, the next question. Hey, I love the passion. I know you, so I love the passion that you put on. When you're not retransmitting it or whatever, I love how you make the spectator get into the game. And this is something that probably we need in our sport, because I think our sport is very easy to sell. Let's say when I have a friend that never went to a basketball game and I invite him and I said, blah, blah, he finishes. I'm going to come more. I like this game.
Exactly. Everybody loves it.
A lot of times we need that extra push of a great play, like make that notice, and I really enjoy it, but let's say I don't listen to you the whole game.
Okay,
the
whole game. I don't think anybody does, so don't worry about
no,
it.
No, I'm sure he does.
Another Twitter question, NBA plans?
Not right now. Right now I'm coaching one of the biggest teams. Real Madrid is a big brand, and I'm very happy, of course.
Look, man, I've known you in Virginia for forever. I know Virginia, as we say here in Spain. I know the kids. You got kids playing basketball, and I want to get more into your personal life, but there's not enough time. Besides, you're a Real Madrid coach. You don't have a personal life, really, to be honest.
Not much. Not much. I love to go out with my friends. I don't have much time to do it.
Right.
I love to watch other sports. I watch a lot of basketball games for sure during the week, so I don't have a lot of, let's say, extra time. We travel a lot, but it's the life
of a coach.
Life of a coach.
Look at it. I'm finished up by saying people come in and out of our lives like through a whole lifetime, especially in this damn sport, basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're playing from team to team, and it's always later that you realize the impact that someone had on your life. Unfortunately, you don't know it at the time. Yeah. You know, and I know I was sent to Victoria to play with you, and the success that you and I had for those 3 years, and then the success that we had here is part of the reason that I'm sitting here doing an interview with you, man. And I personally, you know, publicly want to say thank you for everything you've done for me, my career, and back here and living and working in Spain. And man, I sit down every day and I love watching you succeed. It's just been so great, man. I just want to thank you for taking the time out to be with me and to be with the listeners from the Crossover, man. Thank you very much, Pablo.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.